Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Turn to John chapter 19. By the way, greetings from Southern Hills Baptist Church. I had the privilege of being there, preaching in three services this morning, and I'm excited about what God is doing there. There are some wonderful, wonderful things that are happening, and they're seeing people saved each week. This morning we saw different people raised their hands for salvation. I do not know what the results of that was, but I thank the Lord for the privilege of being able to share the gospel and see so many people respond. It's just great to see God moving. I just love to be with the people that have been influenced by this church in other churches that are reaching this city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can remember as a 17-year-old man, young man, standing on the eastern mountains here, Sunrise Mountains, standing there looking out at the valley, asking God to give me Las Vegas, that I wanted to see people saved in Las Vegas. And it's just amazing to me to watch as I meet person after person after person who are out witnessing, telling people about Jesus Christ in this valley, a valley that's known as Sin City, a place that's known as Sin City, and yet Christians are being raised up to tell other people about Christ. That's what our purpose is. That's why we're here. You know, we've celebrated the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is right that we should celebrate birth. We do that. I've had the privilege in the last 10 days or so to have brought into our family a brand new granddaughter, Felicity, and she's with us this evening. Where is Felicity? Is she with us? No, she's sitting in my office with her mother, and she's probably watching us on the screen, or if she's not, her mom and her are backsliding tonight. But Felicity was born and healthy and whole, and thank the Lord for that. And so God has blessed me with that. And then God blessed our family with a new family member that's going to become an official family member in July of this year. Joshua, would you stand up? This is Joshua Suttle, and then the girl sitting next to him is soon to be Hope Suttle. And so that's my newest future son-in-law, and it's good to have you. Got to spend time with him and his mom and dad and his sister, Kylie, who's back there, and she's single, and she's looking for a guy named Bruno. I told her that whoever she ever gets in touch with, whoever she ever meets, I'm going to name him Bruno. So if your name is Bruno or anything like that, come and talk to me. I've got the applications available. But it's been a thrilling thing to watch God move, and it's really exciting. We celebrate birth. We celebrate weddings. We celebrate, in our culture, we celebrate all of those things. But we don't celebrate death. We don't celebrate death. Nobody says, hey, come over to our house, we're having a party, because somebody died. We just don't. However, biblically, you and I as Christians are commanded to celebrate the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to celebrate his death. We're to remember what he did. In fact, Jesus met with his disciples and he said, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. I want you to partake of this cup and remember my blood. He said, I want you to eat of this bread and I want you to remember my broken body. I want you to remember my death. So several times a year, in obedience to the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, we meet together to remember his death. And it's fitting at the beginning of the year, and it's fitting at the end of the year that we take time to do that. And so tonight, we're going to remember the Lord's death as we read the story of his death in John chapter 19. John chapter 19, starting with verse 1, the Bible says, after Jesus has been betrayed, after Jesus has gone through the mockery of a trial with religious people who have condemned him because he claimed that he was God in human flesh, that he was the Son of God. The Bible says they turned him over to Pilate. Pilate wanted to release him, but instead wound up releasing a man named Barabbas, who was a thief and a robber. In verse 1, the Bible says of John chapter 19, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. That is, he beat him with a cat of nine tails, or had him beat with a cat of nine tails. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. And they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. This is God's Son. And they're beating him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto him, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. I beat him. I've turned him over to my soldiers. They've humiliated him. They have mocked him. They have abused him. And I find no fault with him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man," thinking that he had done enough, and that they would cry for his release. When the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, I want you to understand how much this message of salvation is despised by those who think they don't need salvation. They do not want to admit their sin. Pride is a horrible, horrible thing. The Bible says, when the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they weren't satisfied with the beating. They weren't satisfied with him being mocked. They weren't satisfied with the spittle that was coming down his face. They weren't satisfied with the crown of thorns on his brow. They weren't satisfied with his humanity, his flesh being ripped to shreds. They cried, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid, and went again to the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee and have the power to release thee?" And Jesus answers, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." Wow. Even in this time where he is totally and completely physically abused, Jesus speaks with absolute confidence that God, Almighty God, his heavenly Father, was in absolute control. Can you say amen to that? We look at times of distress and we think, where is God? Jesus knew that God the Father was still on the throne. And then Bible says, and from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." We need to be very careful that we do not allow political correctness to govern us. What they were saying is, it's not politically correct for you to let that man go. He claims to be a king, and we have no king but Caesar. You're not going to look good in the eyes of man if you do that. We need to be very careful and always understand that we need not care what men think about us, because it's God that's the authority. Can you say amen to that? The Bible says, and when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, behold, your king, this is your king. And they cried, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto him, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. We better remember that it is God that is the king. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and they led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth unto a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and in Greek and in Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I've written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout. They said therefore amongst themselves, let's not rend it, but cast lots for it. Who shall it be? That the scriptures might be fulfilled, which said, they parted my raiments among them, and for my vestures they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Amazing. Hundreds of years before, it was prophesied that this would take place, and we're seeing the fulfillment of prophecy. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved. He said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. He's concerned about his mother in his dying moments. Then he said unto his disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all these things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And he cried out to God for that cup that he had said, if there be any other way, let it pass from me. But now he's on the cross and he's saying, Father, I thirst. And God, the Father, poured the cup out. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. It's an amazing statement. Some would have thought he was saying it's all over, I'm dead now, but that wasn't it. It is finished was a victor's cry, which said, it is done. The sin has been paid for. And what Jesus was saying is, I have done what I needed to do. I've given my body to be broken for you. I've given my blood to be shed for you, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. I've given it. It's all done. The Bible records in another place that Jesus looked up at the Father and said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." John writes it this way, "And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost." And the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ went back to the Father as the body died on the cross. All of that was done because you and I are sinners. Because every one of us deserved to go to hell. And God loves us in spite of that. Our sin must be paid for by death, by an agonizing eternal death. And Jesus Christ, being an eternal being, was able to go on the cross at one time in space and time and die and pay for your sin and pay for my sin. And he did that on the cross that day. For the first time in all of eternity, God the Father and God the Son were separated so that Christ would cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God would turn his back on his own Son so that he could look at you and me with favor. Jesus took your sin upon himself, died in your place, died in my place, was buried 3 days later. We know the story. He rose from the dead. And now we can simply come to Jesus and say, "I know I'm a sinner. Please give me eternal life." And he'll give it to anyone who calls upon him. But that free gift was given to us by a very expensive price. Jesus suffered this agonizing death for you and for me. The only way we can get to heaven is by receiving what Jesus did. If you've never received him as your Lord and Savior and God, I would encourage you to do that tonight. He died for you so that you can have eternal life. Will you receive him? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I thank you for sending Jesus. I thank you for coming to this earth. I thank you for being willing to die for my sin and for the sins of this world as the Son of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for us. Help us to live for you. If there's someone here that's not sure they're going to heaven, I pray for their salvation tonight, even right now, and I ask this in your name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.